Welcome to the DreamWork Summit, where DreamWork experts, renowned psychology professionals, and brilliant authors will help you tap into the soul-guided healing wisdom and creativity within your dreams. Share this event with your friends and family, and join us on Facebook at The Shift Network. And now your host, Kizzy Avida.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the DreamWork Summit hosted by The Shift Network. I'm Kizzy Avida here with you today, and I'm so glad you are listening in from wherever you are listening from. And I couldn't be more excited to be here today with Dr. Claire Johnson. Dr. Claire Johnson was the first person in the world to do a PhD in lucid dreaming as a creative tool. She's the author of many books, including The Complete Book of Lucid Dreaming, and has been the president of the International Association for the Study of Dreams, and is now leading ocean retreats in many amazing locations about her studies of lucid dreaming. Dr. Johnson, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm really excited to talk to you.
Yeah, me too. So I guess I'd just like to start with, how did dreaming, and specifically lucid dreaming, become an interest of yours and eventually the topic of your dissertation and your PhD?
Yeah, well, I have been a lucid dreamer all my life. My first memory was of a lucid dream I had when I was 3 years old. It was a nightmare. And in that dream, I was drowning, and I realized that I could either stay in the dream and drown, or I could wake myself up. And I chose to wake up. And my parents came into the room because I was screaming, and they came in and said, "Oh, well, there's no need to be scared, because that was just a dream. It wasn't real." And when I heard that, that seemed so strange to me, because that dream seemed so incredibly real, more real than waking reality was. And so I very early on understood that there were these two worlds. And one world was the world that everyone lives in, the regular world. And the other world was a fascinating, a magical world that was super real for me, but that adults didn't seem to give any attention to. And as I grew up, I had loads of vivid dreams and nightmares, and I had many sleep paralysis experiences when I was at university as well. And that's when you feel like you're trapped in your body and you feel all sorts of strange sensations and presences. It can be very scary. And I taught myself, I had no books about this, I didn't know what it was, but I taught myself to relax in that state. And then I would go into these amazing, beautiful, lucid dreams. And my heart was just captured by this incredible state of consciousness. I wanted to find out everything about it that I could. And so I started to study it at university, and became the first person in the world to do a PhD on lucid dreaming as a creative tool. And I wrote two lucid dream inspired novels and started teaching my transformative lucidity techniques in workshops internationally, and began to write books on lucid dreaming, and became president, as you mentioned earlier, of the International Association for the Study of Dreams. And so it's just developed. My whole life has become about dreams and lucid dreams. It's been an absolutely amazing ride, and there's still so much more to learn and discover. So it's something you can never get bored of.
Yes, I agree with that as well. I find that so amazing about dreams, just how rich they are in terms of once you start looking. And so you're talking about being a young person, even and when you were first in school, about suffering from sleep paralysis, which I know is something that a lot of people have issues with to varying degrees. So I'm just really curious if you could share more about your process for working with them just on your own, and how maybe that's developed to the way you work with now.
Yeah, sure. Well, I receive a lot of messages via my website from desperate people who are really having the worst kind of dream life that you can imagine. They tell me they're afraid to go to sleep because they're having such terrible nightmares. They wake up in the night feeling like they're suffocating because something that they take to be a demon is sitting on their chest. Now, this is sleep paralysis, of course. And these people write to me saying, you know, I feel like I'm going mad. Or they say, please help me to get my life back. I write back to every single person, and every single one of these poor sleep paralysis sufferers is dealing with a huge fear issue. Fear permeates the sleeping portion of their life, and they wake up exhausted and depressed. And so, of course, how can they possibly then go on to have a joyful day with harmonious relationships when they're mentally and physically shattered? I mean, these nightmares negatively impact every area of their lives. So for these people, working with their sleep paralysis experiences is an existential necessity. It can literally save their lives. What I tend to do is I'll have a deep discussion with sleep paralysis sufferers to find out about their type of sleep paralysis and where the fear comes from. And then I will generally advise them along the lines of, how can we reduce this great fear? That's the thing to work with first off, is the fear. And often when people understand that sleep paralysis is not actually, you know, demons or supernatural beings coming to attack you in your sleep, but what it actually is a physiological thing. It has a physiological reason. It's when, basically, whenever each of us falls asleep, every time we fall asleep, we enter muscular paralysis. And we do that because it's to keep us safe so that we don't act out our dreams. It's a biological function. But what happens with some people is that although their body falls asleep and enters this muscular paralysis, their mind remains lucid and aware. And then, of course, they feel like they're stuck in their body and they struggle. That makes it worse. And they get scared, and that makes it worse as well, because sleep paralysis, just as with any dream, is a thought-responsive environment. So that means that when we feel a strong emotion in a dream like fear, the dream environment reacts by becoming more scary. And so I work with people to help them become less fearful. I give them practical techniques. For example, with a sleep paralysis sufferer, I might say, well, one thing you can try during the day is to do relaxing breathing rhythms, you know, like inhaling for 4 seconds, holding for 4 seconds, and exhaling for 6 seconds. Because in sleep paralysis, you're never completely paralyzed. You can breathe, you know, your breathing apparatus does not get paralyzed for obvious reasons of survival. And so you can use that in sleep paralysis and use that feeling of peace. And I often ask them, what makes you feel really happy in your life? What makes you feel really safe? And they'll come up with something that, like, it could be a memory, or it could be a person, like their husband or their mother. And I'll say, well, you can bring that person into your sleep paralysis to make you feel safe. Or you can enter the environment that you feel safe in when you're in sleep paralysis. So these things help us to release fear. And you can also protect yourself by creating an egg of light around you so that you feel very safe. You can practice that during the day, knowing that you can also do it while you're in sleep paralysis. And the fascinating thing is that people will then write back to me after we've had our Skype session, and they'll say, oh, I managed to do what you said. I managed to release the fear. And then I managed to enter this really, really relaxing space. It was all black, but it wasn't scary. And I just floated there, and it was like meditation. And that, for example, is an amazing shift. That's an amazing step forward for these people, because they realize that sleep paralysis doesn't have to be all about fear and worrying about things and thinking you're going to be devoured by something. You can also slip through it to other relaxing, peaceful states. And then the step after that is entering a dream, a beautiful dream. So I ask them to think about a scene that they would love to be part of, like, I don't know, lying on a beach with their loved ones. And then they can actually try and get to that lucid dream the next time they're in sleep paralysis. And there are loads of other practical ways of helping people through that state of fear.
Yes, I like what you're saying about just trying to work with the fear. And I guess a question that comes up for me in your understanding, why do these states occur? And if someone can move through the sleep paralysis in the ways that you're talking about, does that have any effect in the rest of their life? Or is there a relationship between what goes on, you know, in these experiences and the rest of the person's waking life?
Absolutely. It's very, very interconnected. Very often the people who come to me with fearful sleep paralysis experiences or with recurring nightmares are also having trouble in their waking lives. You know, they're not able to relax in their lives. Because what happens, I mean, the thing about fear is that it can become an enormous obstacle, not only to emotional and psychological growth, but also to spiritual growth. Fear shuts us down. It renders us incapable of taking powerful, compassionate action in our lives. It makes us shrink away from the very heart of life, and that is not a good thing. When we let our lives become dominated by fears and anxieties, we end up unhappy, and we wind up living a smaller life than the one we deserve. But when we work closely with our dreams, and when we summon the courage to unwrap our nightmares or dive into our sleep paralysis experiences without fear, then we release the huge spiritual and healing potential within us. And what I often find, I mean, you know, you asked about the reasons for sleep paralysis. It kind of depends. For some people, it can be linked to a past trauma, or it can be triggered by stress. For other people, it seems purely a physiological occurrence. And the thing is, you have to talk to the person really to find out more about this, because each person has their own individual solution to the sleep paralysis. So you have to dive deep with that person and find out, you know, when did the sleep paralysis start? How does it make you feel? What happens in your sleep paralysis? And what can we do to make you feel safe when you go to sleep at night? So those are the kind of questions that need to be tackled.
Yes. And so, speaking of the personal and how it's different for each person, I'm curious if you had an example from your own life, as you've been on this journey of looking at your own nightmares, of how your technique can really work.
Right. I mean, well, I as you can imagine, I have so many dreams that and nightmares that I have managed to transform through lucidity because of doing so much work, deep work with lucid dreaming. One example I can share of a nightmare that helped me with a waking life situation happened last year. And it was when I was having a difficult situation with two of my publishers. I have publishers in the US and also in the UK, in London. And there was an issue that had come up, and it was kind of really annoying, and I didn't know really how to respond. And I was sort of hoping that things would just kind of sort themselves out by themselves, but I was stressed out about it. And I went to sleep that night, and I had a dream that I was in a cave. And it was a beautiful cave with crystal clear waters. But then I looked to my left and I suddenly saw this massive green snake coiled up, and it was staring at me from black eyes, really conscious. And I looked at it and thought, wow, that's a big snake. Oh, I'd probably better go. And I felt uneasy, and I knew I had to get out of there. And there was only one way of getting out of that cave. So I turned and started to leave the cave, but I was aware that the snake was slithering up behind me. And I felt scared. I didn't know what was going to happen. And then the moment that the snake touched the base of my spine, three things happened. First, I realized, oh, okay, I'm dreaming. You know, I became lucid, and then I was able to relax and release my fear. And the second thing was, I knew that that snake did not want to hurt me. It didn't want to bite me. It wanted to share its power and its knowledge with me. And the third thing that happened when it touched the base of my spine was I felt this incredible buzzing. It was just incredible, this feeling in my spine. It was like dancing light particles. And as the snake moved up onto my back, I could feel the weight of it. This amazing buzzing went all the way up my spine, right up to the crown of my head. And the snake and I dissolved into light. And it was just the most powerful feeling ever. And I woke up still feeling this incredible energy buzzing up my spine. And I knew, okay, this dream has come to empower me. It made me realize that it was time to act about this, you know, on this annoying situation with my publishers. And I was able to sort of seize my power and act compassionately, but you know, with power to resolve the situation. And it was incredible. It ended up resolving so much more amazingly and perfectly than I could have ever imagined. And I ended up signing 2 book deals within the space of 2 weeks, which never happens. And they were both for dream books. One was The Art of Lucid Dreaming that I've just finished writing. And the other one is for a book on nightmares, sleep paralysis, and other sleep disturbances. So that was a dream that really helped me to just take action in my life to align events so that I would be able to do what I needed to do, which is write my books and help people with dreams and nightmares. And I would say that, like, there are 3 main ways of working with dreams, or 3 major steps. The first major step is simply remembering our dreams. And the second one is uncovering the message of the dream. What's it about, you know, and feeling its truth. And there are, of course, many ways of working with dreams to understand them. And then the third step, which is super important, is to take action in our lives based on what our dream or our nightmare is saying to us. Because dreams are honest mirrors. You know, they show us how we really feel about a situation. And I often get people who have never done any dream work, and they'll come along to a workshop, which is, I also give general workshops, you know, to do with creativity, and they'll come along to one of those workshops, and at some point I'll ask them, oh, you know, have you got a dream? We're going to do a bit of dream work. And they'll say, I don't remember my dreams. And I say, well, you know, how about a childhood dream or a nightmare? And I remember one woman in one of these workshops, she said, I can only remember one dream from my whole life, and it happened 6 months ago, and it was the worst, most horrible nightmare. And I said, well, do you want to share it? And she said, yeah, I'll share it. She said, basically, I saw my 2 grown-up daughters lying dead in coffins. And she said, it was just awful, and I shrieked and was so sad, and I was grieving. And I woke up, she said, I was so scared that was going to be a dream of the future, that it meant that my girls were going to die. And I just asked her one question. I just said, oh, well, what was happening in your life at the time when you had that nightmare? And she said, oh, let me think. Oh, yeah, my youngest daughter had just left home. And the moment she said that, she realized what the nightmare was about. It wasn't a dream of the future. It was a dream, an empty nest dream. And it made her realize that, in fact, even though she thought she dealt really well with the fact that her 2 daughters had left the family home, in fact, on some level, it felt to her almost like they were dead. She was grieving. She was very, very upset deep down. And when you realize what a dream is about and you feel its truth in your heart, that's when you can take action to take care of yourself or others. And this lady realized that she needed to process the fact that her girls didn't live at home anymore. She needed to take care of herself very compassionately during this huge life transition. And she decided that she wanted to make sure she saw her daughters again very soon and kept seeing them on a regular basis. So once we recognize that truth, we can take action in our lives. And dream work can really be that simple. We figure out the symbolism of our dream or our nightmare, we gain insight, and then we act on this insight to create positive change in our lives. And dreams really can change our lives in good ways on every level.
Yes, I certainly agree with that. And I think the simplicity of what you're saying is really true and impactful. I'm curious in that process, sort of how lucidity plays a role specifically, because I know for some people, having lucidity in a dream feels very challenging or far away, and just curious how you work with that.
Well, I'm glad you asked about that, because this is one of the major parts of my work, is helping people to work with dreams in very lucid ways while they're awake. So dream work, all dream work, is a form of lucidity. And lucidity is all about awareness. So when we bring the light of conscious awareness to the largely unconscious material of our dreams, we illuminate the shadows within, and we can work out what the dream is saying to us. I always say that anybody can benefit from a waking version of lucid dreaming. You don't have to be a master lucid dreamer to gain deep spiritual and healing insights from your dreams. I've developed many original practices to help people to bring lucidity to their dream, both while they're asleep and actually dreaming the dream, but also while they're awake. Because you can make your non-lucid dream into a lucid dream when you re-enter it with full conscious awareness. I can share a technique with you that works beautifully for any disturbing dream or nightmare, or any dream that seems just like a real enigma, you know, that we just can't seem to figure out what it's saying to us. I call this technique the Lucid Imaging Nightmare Solution, and it appears in my complete book of lucid dreaming. But before I share the technique, I'd just like to quickly say that some nightmares should not be worked on alone. It's not, so this is not a technique for people who are suffering from depression, trauma, or psychosis, or those who have been recently bereaved, because for some people it's really better to work on nightmares with a trained therapist. But for everyone else, you can try this technique the moment you wake up from a nightmare, or you can do it during the day. If you do it when you've just woken from a nightmare, the first thing you need to do is make sure you feel calm and safe, and then ask yourself if you're ready to work with this dream. And then relax. Close your eyes, knowing that you can stop the process at any moment if you feel disturbed. And then you recall your dream or nightmare in detail, allowing the imagery to fill your mind. And you rewind it like a movie back to the tipping point. That's the moment when the dream becomes unpleasant or strange or fearful. At this moment's a bit like the tipping point on a pair of scales, you know. So your task now is to restore the balance in your dream by returning to the moment just before that tipping point. And you imagine that you're lucid in this dream, which means you can release fear and respond intuitively to the imagery as it unfolds. And the dream may well change and transform before your eyes. And you have many, many options in this relaxed dream re-entry. For example, you could ask the people in your dream if they have a message for you, or you could bring help into your dream in the form of a strong friend or a power animal or a magical tool. You could send love and light into your dream, or you could chant a healing mantra. These three things, love, light, and sound, have immense healing power in the dream world. And the best nightmare solutions are not forced. You know, so you just allow the dream imagery to develop, move, and change spontaneously. And you'll know when you've found the right nightmare solution, because any tension around the dream will diminish and you'll feel calm and safe. So I'll give you an example of how the lucid imaging nightmare solution works. A woman in one of my workshops had a recurring nightmare of a zombie baby. And it would jump up aggressively into her face like a kamikaze warrior, and she would stand there petrified, unable to run away. And when she used the lucid imaging nightmare solution, the zombie baby jumped towards her as usual, only this time she was ready to catch it like a fireball. And then she said to it, "Let's switch roles." And then she felt its energy streaming into her body like a vortex of spinning green light. And after this energy transfer, she felt strong and ready to fight, but this time not against the baby, but for the baby. She now felt that she and the baby were one being, and she felt very strong, protective, maternal energy towards it, as if they were now a unity or a team. And the entire dreamscape lightened in response to this integrative dream work. And so when we re-enter our dreams with lucid awareness, we change the energy of the dream and we reclaim this powerful energy that we've somehow become separated from along the way. And when we empower ourselves in this way, we feel stronger, we feel more resourceful and more joyful. I mean, this lady's face was just luminous with delight as she shared her nightmare transformation with the rest of the group. It was very beautiful to see. She was shining like a star. And I mean, it really is, when we let our fear rule our dreams and rule our life, we become like cardboard cutouts. You know, we don't dare to live fully and just going through the motions of being alive. But when we embrace self-knowledge, even though this can be painful and difficult at first, but when we're brave and we turn to look at the deepest parts of ourselves through our dreams and nightmares, we become truly alive and we're able to tap into our own spiritual power and our deep healing potential. We find ourselves embracing life with joy, and it's just a joy to see that kind of transformation.
Absolutely. I think that's a great way of saying it. And I really appreciate what you're saying about lucidity. It sounds like it's basically on kind of a spectrum. So any greater attention or awareness or consciousness that we can bring into the dream state is an increase in lucidity in some way. And
just, yeah, exactly.
Working on it in that sense, I think, is really empowering for people. I guess I just wanted to ask, as we're toward the end now too, because you've mentioned a couple times the connections you're seeing between coming into this deeper relationship with your dreams and coming into a greater connection with spirituality. And I'm just curious how that connection was made for you and how you understand it.
Yeah, well, I've had so many beautiful, deep, lucid dream experiences that count among the most spiritual experiences of my entire life. What I've found is that in lucid dreams, when I release the dream, you know, I release my attachment to the dream furniture, as I like to call it, you know, so the cars and the houses and the trees and the people, just release that attachment. I get like pulled backwards by a really strong force and the whole dream dissolves. And I find myself floating in just luminous space. And it is so wonderful. It's like you lose your sense of self. You know, I don't have the dream body anymore. I don't feel anymore like I'm Claire. It's just like a dot of conscious awareness. And then even that dot just dissolves and becomes part of this vast, incredibly healing light. And words can't describe it. These are just amazing states of consciousness. And I found, I mean, for me at least, it's the easiest way for me to reach these extremely deep spiritual spaces is through lucid dreaming. I mean, you know, I do meditate quite a lot, and I do yoga, and I enjoy trance states. Like I'm a creative writer, so I'm often in those states of consciousness as well. But really, the ones for me where I've had the most, the deepest spiritual experiences are in what I call the lucid light. And so when you transcend the imagery, you encounter this light. And I think of it as like the baseline state of consciousness. I don't think the waking state is our baseline state of consciousness. I think it's this light. It's this state from which all forms and matter emerge. It's the light we emerge from as conscious beings and the light that we return to at the moment of dying. It's incredibly healing, peaceful, spiritual, and transformative, and it's always there. I mean, it's the bedrock of any state of consciousness. It's just, as I say, it's easier to encounter it in a lucid dream or perhaps in deep meditation than it is in the waking state. And I find that even if I'm not looking for it, the light in my dreams will find me. It will come to me when I need healing. I remember one time I was really kind of stressed because I had a book deadline, and at the last moments it's so hard to get it all finished and get it off to my editor, and I was so tired because I have a daughter as well, and I have a whole other life obviously beyond my book writing. And I finally got it sent off, and it was 11 o'clock in the morning. And I felt really ill. I thought, I'm just going to fall ill. I feel terrible. So I just crawled into bed. And the moment I lay down in bed and closed my eyes, this beautiful golden light filled the room. It came into the room and it kind of lifted me up. And I floated in this light. It was so gorgeous. I didn't know, I didn't have a sense of time. I was in there for however long it was. And then after a while, I came out of that state and I was in my bed and I looked at my watch and 1.5 hours had gone by. And I jumped out of bed and I just felt like amazing, full of energy. And I decided, I'm going to go on a bike ride. So I took my bike down to the river and went on this brilliant bike ride. And I was just full of life again. It's like it came to recharge me. And this is the wonderful thing. Lucid dreaming is a portal into the deepest, most spiritual parts of ourselves. And you can, once you kind of tap into the source, you can recharge your batteries just for daily things like that, like feeling exhausted and thinking you're going to be ill, and then having this amazing healing light experience that you weren't even looking for. It'll come and find you and support you in your life. That's been my experience, and I know of many other deep lucid dreamers who have experienced the same thing. So it's really it's a beautiful state of consciousness, but I always try to really put the focus on the fact that you don't have to be a lucid dreamer to have any of the experiences that I've talked about today. It's one way of doing it, but the waking dream work techniques that I teach are just as valuable, and I've seen the transformative effects that they have and the healing effects. So I always try to encourage people, don't worry if you can't get lucid in your dreams, wake up more in your life by doing waking dream work, and that will bring you the beauty and the joy and the connection to life that you're seeking.
Yes, I totally agree with that, and I thank you for that, making that connection for people, because I think it is a really beautiful channel that can open up when we open up to our dreams in general. And so as we're ending here, I just wanted to ask if there's anything else you wanted to add.
Well, as you probably noticed, I could go on forever on this topic, but just to sum up, I guess final thought would be just to say that your dreaming mind is your best and wisest friend. And when you meet it on common ground with lucid awareness, by doing dream work, then you'll experience the deepest possible connection with your own soul and the universal soul. You'll release fear and you'll be free to fully embrace this beautiful life that we live.
Yes, I agree with all of that. And I really thank you for being with us and sharing your wisdom with all of our listeners today. And if you want... Yeah, for sure. And if you want to learn more about Dr. Claire Johnson, you can visit her website, deeplucidreaming.com. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for the DreamWork Summit, brought to you by the Shift Network. To learn more, visit thedreamworksummit.com. To join our global community of people awakening to their divine humanity and taking inspired action, visit theshiftnetwork.com. Thank you again for gathering with us and for sharing this life-enhancing path with your friends and family.